Welcome to On the Agenda podcast for Associated School Boards of South Dakota. I'm Heath Larson, Executive Director, and blessed to have with us today Chair of House Education, Lana Greenfield, and Senate Education Committee Member, Steph Souter. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for asking us to be here.
Absolutely. Well, I thought before, you know, for all of our members and for our folks out there in our schools, that they should have an opportunity to hear from a couple folks in the trenches during the 2026 legislative session. And we appreciate the hard work that you do for our students in our schools. And I guess we'll just start with you, Lana, if you want to highlight a positive or two for K-12 school districts and public education from your perspective coming out of the 2026 legislative session.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Larson, for having us here. Again, my name is Lana Greenfield, District 22, House Education Chair. I have chaired education for 6 of my 10 years while I have been in the legislature. So this is kind of nothing new to me. We've seen new ideas, old ideas, unworkable ideas, and we have to sift and sort through to make sure that we do have a good product in the end. House Bill 1017 was proposed by the Secretary of Education, Dr. Graves, and what it called for is alternative learning for students who are disruptive and destructive in the classroom. And the alternative learning 1017 was very vague and general, so that people could plug in any kind of a type of learning atmosphere for students that best met their needs. We talked about it. We had a meeting in Madison amongst legislators and some administrators, and we came up with the idea, well, how will this look? And one of the things that we thought is that, well, maybe the student would be sent home and have to be instructed by the parent or somebody on hand. And what would that look like? Because that would be very sketchy, especially if both parents worked. We didn't know if it would be online learning at once a student is sent home, and if a 6, 7, or 8-year-old would plug into an online program. And that seemed unworkable because a lot of the trouble is coming from the elementary classrooms. So then we talked about paraprofessionals and could it be a one-to-one teaching moment with the kids every day? And if so, would there be enough paraprofessionals? Would there be enough room? And so we didn't know. We didn't know how that would all turn out. And maybe some of you administrators have a creative notion that you'd want to do something different. But after some brainstorming, Dr. Guffin, superintendent of the Aberdeen school system, said, I think I could link up, or we could link up maybe with Children's Home Society that almost has their, they've got their places in Rapid City and Sioux Falls. They have both a in-treatment center, residential, and a day center. And of course, a day center would work better for our needs. So I introduced House Bill 1261, which would complement House Bill 1017. And what my ask was for $2 million, because there is a building available in Aberdeen that would suit the needs of the children, and quite possibly this would be able to be opened by the fall of the year. And so we were hoping and praying that the legislature and the appropriations committee would see the need, because every year we talk about mental health and all the frustration with the classroom settings. And this would at least be a step in the right direction to promote some type of treatment. And other area schools besides Aberdeen were very interested in it. We had superintendents from the surrounding area that were testifying in the committee, and I really appreciate it. So anyway, the bill was passed, and we went to Aberdeen last week for the bill signing. The governor was gracious enough to be there, and his wife as well. And we went to Holgate School, and we were met by Bobek and some of the students. And the students got to be up on the stage with us during the bill signing, and they were so excited. And one of the girls shook hands with the governor, and it was told to us later on that she said she would never wash her hands again after getting that handshake. But other teachers were there to greet us. They were there to say goodbye to us. And we just really felt special. And this is for people, and this is a pilot program. Maybe we can extend it in the future to other areas of the state. But I am so excited to have this get started.
Yeah, great for you. That was a good bill, and especially a good bill for that area of the state, Representative Greenfield. You know, I think one of the things was there's certain centers, you know, you have Rapid City, you have Sioux Falls, and then you kind of have some other areas that are a little bit less, have less opportunity from a standpoint from that residential facility or day facility scenario for the kids. And to your point, the local districts, in addition to the host district, Aberdeen, were very supportive of the opportunity for their students.
And the day center actually would be where the schools would have to either drive, or the parents would drive the student to that location, and the schools would be assessed a certain amount, but it would be a lot cheaper than having to send the students out of state, where we would have to place them at the school's expense. So that's another positive. And we're hoping too that it would reduce recidivism as far as the prison is concerned, or even entry into the prison, because the students would be brought into the right direction through therapy. And maybe they wouldn't then end up meeting up with students in the future that also have deviant behaviors, and reduce the population of the prison.
Excellent. Well, thanks for sharing that, Representative
Oh,
Greenfield,
you're
and
welcome.
congratulations on the bill and the prime there on 1261 with the work that you did on that. Good, nice job.
Thank you.
All
And
right,
thank you
Senator.
To the senator too. Thank you to the
Yes.
senator.
Yeah, well, it takes many people, right? It takes everyone to make it all work. So really appreciate your leadership with that. And Senator Sauter, how about you? I know you had a prime on a bill with extraordinary cost fund. What would you like to share about a positive or several positives from this session for schools?
Yeah, so that is the my bill, the increased funding for the extraordinary cost fund for special ed kind of ties in with that day center in Aberdeen. Like the good representative said, it'll cut down on some of the costs, where if we don't have to send our students, drive them all the way to Sioux Falls, or send them out of state, if we can just, you know, relocate them for their education closer to home, it really makes a difference in the budgets of the schools. And so I was glad to bring this bill forward, and I was glad that I had a lot of people fighting for me, especially in appropriations, because that's where, you know, it ultimately came down to that. And then they put it into the governor's into the G bill, and so it was a very good thing. Didn't quite come out the way we had first intended, because we were going to not only increase it by $1 million, but we initially thought if we could increase it per CPI for the next, you know, years, we wouldn't have to continue to come back and ask for more funding if we needed it. But they cut that part out of it, which I was okay with. They came and asked if we would compromise with that, and I was very willing to do that, because it was mainly just get that additional $1 million in there. And so I was glad to be. And so then when the Brown County facility came up, I'm going, here we are, we're kind of partnering with that, and it all kind of played together. So I was glad to be a part of that as well. And that came out of that summer study as well, this summer.
Yes, absolutely. And just for all of our listeners, so the Extraordinary Cost Fund is for special education. And $4 million is what is contributed to that at the state level of state funds. And that amount went to $5 million. And that amount of has not been increased, had not been increased for quite some time. So it did go from 4 million to 5 million. And as Senator Sauter had mentioned, the index factor was initially part of the bill. And as kind of a compromise, we ended up, she agreed to, and everyone it passed was to go to 4 to 5 million, but to remove the index factor or CPI out of that scenario. So still a good win for schools and for kids and school districts. So Really appreciate Senator Sauter and Representative Greenfield for your work on that. And I think that's a great point. Kind of all of that on those bills kind of all work together in unison to a degree. So really appreciate your work on that. Talk about a few, maybe a key takeaway from this session. Representative Greenfield, any key takeaway that you'd like to maybe share from your perspective for K-12 school districts?
Sure. There seemed to be a large appetite, perhaps this year, on the part of a few to bring in out-of-state testifiers. And, we had to sort the wheat from the chaff because a lot of the testimony that was given didn't even relate to South Dakota and would not have been workable for South Dakota. And so, we had to, even if we didn't agree, perhaps, with the whole premise, we had to still be courteous and listen to the testimony, as you well know. There seemed to be, and don't get me wrong, we have people that are jacks of all trade in our legislature. They are not well versed. Many of them are not well versed for knowing what education concepts are. And so, when it comes to something like House Bill 1217, the SDEA bill, and they were told that our schools are giving away thousands and thousands of dollars to the SDEA and NEA, we had to try to give them some background as to what the purpose of the organization was, and also to tell them that this is not how it works. There might be a payroll deduction that is then turned over to SDEA, but certainly not the schools giving taxpayer money. Conjoined with the outside speakers coming in, there were certain narratives that it was a year of blaming the state lack of money on schools. They spend too much money. They're being too frivolous. Now, the knowledge that I have is from my area. I can look at the budgets. I can look and see what the spending is, and I'm not seeing it in my area. So I think the schools are very proactive in their budgets, and each department is given a budget. And I know when I was teaching, I was a drama teacher. And if I went and bought a bunch of stuff and then took the bill into the business office and hadn't had a pre invoice signed by them and approved, I could pay for it myself because it wasn't pre-approved. So I know that there are some brakes put on by the schools as far as the spending, but it was very hard to get that across.
You know, I think one of the things, and to your point, I think the shift needs to happen from a concept of we need to look, and if we can strive to have the narrative be education's an investment, not an expense. And I think so often we're starting to, or we start to look and just put, and yeah, cost matters, right? But it's an investment, not an expense, and it's an investment in our children and our future. And I think that's the goal and the way from a mind shift perspective that we should really be looking at it. So thanks for your comments on that. And yeah, 1217 was a bill that certainly we opposed, and you did a nice job managing and handling that bill. Senator Sauter, what about you? What are some key takeaways you had?
I felt like we were playing defense a lot regarding education. There was a lot of mistrust among legislators toward school board members, toward administrators. And I really felt bad about that because, having been an educator, I know what's going on. I mean, I don't know everything that's going on in a school, but I still have an idea how hard everybody is working to try to make it work. And so, for some legislators to bring legislation that would take away the power from a school board or from administrators, such as sending every decision, almost it seemed like every decision, to a vote of the people instead of letting the school board make that decision. That's what they were elected to do. I wasn't elected to do that. None of us were elected to do that. That's their job. And then like the phone ban, visiting with a lot of the schools across the state, they have plans that work already in place. They have those policies. So why do we as state legislators have to again play the part of a school administrator and say, we've got a great idea and you're going to do it? Well, you know what? That great idea is already being done in our schools. We don't need to say, put our stamp on it and say, now it's our idea. So I felt like we were playing defense a lot, but I think we did okay fending off some of that. And I mean, at least I tried.
Well, we had just for a little background. So 2 years ago, we had 44 bills of opposition at Associated School Boards. It's a pretty good number of bills that, and a good chunk of those were infringements on local control, candidly. And so whether it was opt-out decisions, capital outlay certificates, bans on cell phones, whatever it happens to be. But 2 years ago, 44 bills of opposition. This year, we had 36. So over the last 2 years, a pretty good number of concerns, and a lot of those bills that we oppose were, to your point, Senator, infringements on local control decision making. And the way this state is set up, and we are believers in local control in this state. We don't like to be mandated to do a lot of things, et cetera. The processes we have in place have been in place for quite some time, and tend to work well. But to your point, multiple examples of infringements on local control. And as both of you know, a lot with property taxes, right? This year, I think it was about roughly 50 bills in some way, shape, or form connecting to property taxes this year. And as you know, a couple bills came out of session, a couple in particular, Senate Bill 245 that passed towards the tail end of session. That with owner occupied, and as you know, the funding formula, that's how it works. The legislature devised the formula, so our schools work with the formula that's in place, and that is a component of local effort, which is property tax, and then certainly a mixture of state aid. So as that bill passed, we'll see as that comes through more. FY28 is when that bill will happen, and things start to impact things. So it won't be for next year, but coming up, we'll have to keep an eye on that as we go away. But certainly, legislators, you all went home with a message that there's property tax relief for owner occupied, and that was a big part of, at least what I thought from my perspective, a big part of this session, and I think it was fairly well advertised. What are your thoughts on that, Representative Greenfield?
Well, I think it was very well advertised, and I think it was time to get something done as far as tax reduction was concerned. It seems like we've had summer study after summer study on property tax relief, got nowhere. And so it was time to invoke some idea. And if this isn't, it's an idea, it's not probably the idea, but it's at least going in the right direction, I think. And I did vote in favor of both 245 and 96.
Yeah. And Senate Bill 96 was the governor's bill. And that he had that well advertised from the start, which is a half a percent for sales tax option for the counties. And that was never allowed before. So that was an option. We had on, and I don't know if either of one of you know this, but I had on and visited with Secretary Howdy Schell from the Department of Revenue, and the Division Director for Property Tax, Wendy Semler, and they were both guests on our podcast here, I believe, a couple weeks ago, and really, really did a nice job in explaining that, as well. So we really appreciated their involvement and their willingness to join us as well. So, what about you, Senator Sauder? Any thoughts on anything else or as far as takeaways?
No, we again the property tax issue, There were some that said, let's completely get rid of it, but nobody gave us a solution as to, well, how we were going to make up that money if we were to take it away. So, well, I suppose that will come back to us in the future. As far as those two bills, 96 and 245, I did vote for 96 basically just because it put that back in the hands of local control, the commission, the county commissioners, and the people, because they have to vote on it if they choose to do that. I didn't feel 100% this is the answer, but it was something that I guess we could work with at this point. 245, I did not vote for just because I thought it was going a little bit too fast, kind of getting rammed and jammed through the legislature. And when we have one more year to look at it, study it, and decide what to do with it, I guess I would have, I would, I, my vote, no vote was just a message to pull the reins back just a little bit to give us some more time to look at that.
Yeah, on the school district side of it, one of the challenges that we saw with it, or concerns, I guess, that we have with it is, we're all for reducing taxes. We're all for, doing the what's best for our constituents and the people of our state. The challenge comes in if we fill the bucket, because if we lose out on property tax revenue, which is how the formula for schools is built, with state aid as well, there's going to be more state aid and less local effort. So the challenge is, what happens when sales tax collection lags, or we have a recession and the revenue is not there at the state level? Our schools, to be made whole, are going to rely on that state aid to fill the bucket. And that's the concern that we had on the school district side of it. We know there's a replacement revenue option. Is that revenue replacement option going to, because of its volatility, is that going to still make our school districts whole? And if it doesn't, what we'll be talking about in, further as they go to, is going to be potentially more opt-outs and opportunity then to fill that bucket, which comes back to the local taxpayer as well. So it's a delicate balance when you start talking on the funding formula piece. And as I referenced several times during session, you both probably heard me say it. You may not have remembered it, but the South Dakota's number two according to Tax Foundation in overall tax competitiveness. So when you look at our state and how competitive we are with how we're designed and set up, that's a pretty good message to send to the people of our state and the taxpayers of our state, I think. We're number two, right behind Wyoming, and we all know they have a lot of natural resources there in Wyoming as well. So, all right, we're getting close to finishing up here. And I just, if Representative Greenfield, we'll go back to you. Just tell us about a goal or some goals that you have as we look to the future of K-12 education and our public education school districts. We know our communities love our local schools in this state. And talk a little bit about your goals or your thoughts and investing in our youth.
Well, first of all, I have to get reelected this fall. That would be my first and foremost goal. And then from there, I'm hoping that we can have good bills presented next year and fewer bills. And I hope that we have more discussion on who would be affected by the bill and how it would affect maybe the children in the school districts. I hope that we can stay positive and focused, always trying to be proactive rather than reactive. And it's my sincere hope that our schools and our students would pursue excellence rather than honoring any type of mediocrity. So, and we need to lift, get the message out there that teaching is a great gig. And I think that we're pretty good salesmen. It's improving, and we can see more teachers coming into the field, but there's still work to do. So those are my thoughts on education and the direction I want to see it going.
There's definitely work to do. My wife's a high school teacher for 30 years and has coached track for 30 years. One of our children is a teacher. She was in her second year of teaching this year. So I have retired. My parents are both retired educators. I have a sibling that's an educator. I have other family members. A lot of them. It goes pretty. It's pretty a small state, right? So, but it is a great field. It's very rewarding. A lot of work. And it doesn't get easier, but for folks that are up for a challenge and want to make a difference in the lives of kids in the future. It's definitely, to your point, a great occupation. And you were a teacher for years as well. So appreciate your service to South Dakota.
Well, thank you.
Senator Sauter, how about you? Any goals that you have for the future?
Well, I really want to continue promoting and advocating for education. You know, there's a lot of these negative messages, you know, about, you know, low scores or problem children. And that is really a minor thing, although, you know, little things can become big things. But we've got a great education system in South Dakota, and it's just we've got to keep putting that message out there, bringing bills that support our children, you know, like the school lunch bill this year. That helps our kids. I was very proud of Representative Whitman. She worked on that for a long time and worked with the right people. So that's the teams that we have in place. I hope to be on those teams. I've had people asking me, do we need to reconfigure the formula, the school funding formula? Is that really working the best for us? I'm not the one to figure that out. I'm not the numbers person, but maybe that's something that we need to look at. But just to continue supporting our schools, our administrators, our teachers, our school boards. We're all on the same team. We really are. And I think that message needs to get out there to more people who want to, you know, snarl and growl about how bad our schools are. They are not. They're listening to the wrong people because we do have, you know, a terrific education system in South Dakota.
Yeah, and to that point, I think you're exactly right. And we've tried to share as much information as we can. You know, they talk about the Smarter Balance scores. And in the Smarter Balance Consortium, you know, it started at about 30 schools, and it's down to approximately 11 states and 2 U.S. territories who are still involved in Smarter Balance as the state assessment. South Dakota is at the top, or very near the top, of the states that are giving the Smarter Balance when it comes to performance. So they're doing our state is doing very well, and our teachers and schools and kiddos are doing well in that comparison. You could say you can't compare all those states because they have different standards, et cetera. But if you put them in the mix, and we have very high standards and rigor in this state. So when you throw in the rigor we have, the standards we have, and how the students and schools are doing, we're doing very well in comparison in that state assessment with the Smarter Balance. Then you throw in the NAEP, which is the national test given to fourth and eighth grade. And in three of the four categories, we are exceeding the state average. And where we weren't was fourth grade reading, which we are addressing with the science of reading, which we fully support and think is going to be a great opportunity for our students and for our school districts in South Dakota, with the science of reading as well, which is not a new concept in general. When I was an elementary principal here in the Pierce School District way back when, many, many years ago, we had what was called Reading First, which was like the science of reading. And it was a great concept for us, and it helped move the needle in achievement. So we're very positive about that and think that has a lot of potential for some growth and ability to move the needle as well. So
You know, one of the things that one of the most favorite parts of my job is when students come to the Capitol, either as a, you know, group touring the Capitol or the pages. I wish everybody could be there, especially the naysayers who say how our kids are going to hell in a handbasket. That is not true. That is not true at all. And I make sure I tell them that because especially our pages, and the administrators that who are listening to this, please encourage your students to come out and serve because I've never talked to one who said this was the dumbest thing I've ever done. They all go back so enlightened and so educated in areas that they otherwise they wouldn't have gotten into. But we've got smart kids and good. I'm so excited because they're going to be such great adults. And even the kids that come out on school trips just to walk around, they see it from a whole different perspective. Those are the kids we're working for. Those are the kids who go back and say, "Hey, did you know this?" And so, it every day is a good day to promote children and education in South Dakota.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. The future is bright with the kids that I talk to, we see in the Capitol. The future is very bright, and we need to continue to support them and all of their efforts. So, any final parting words from you, Representative Greenfield?
Well, I was just going to echo what Dr. Slaughter said, and I would like to encourage legislators to be invited into the schools for a day to visit and view, because I'm guessing that maybe some of them never go into the classrooms or even are around the school system. I also want to encourage the legislators to make visits to schools and talk to the government classes or the junior history classes and encourage the kids to apply to be pages. I just think that that is such a worthwhile experience for them. I did go into my local school here in Doland last week and talk to some of the kids on that very subject, and I plan to go throughout the area in my district to do the same thing.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Senator Sauder and Representative Greenfield, for joining us today for On the Agenda podcast. My name's Heath Larson, and thanks everybody for joining us. And it's been great having you. Take care.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Yes.